because there's a little time, I will immediately move over to the translation. The devotees, who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord, can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Prabhupada explains in the first part of the purport the difference between the devotees of Krishna and the yogis. It's a very noticeable difference. The yogis, and this refers also to people who are not having bhakti in their hearts and who do not do service for Krishna, they have to make a heavy effort to struggle on their own in order to overcome the many, many desires which are pulling them here and there. But the bhaktas are in a different position because they meditate about Krishna. Krishna helps them to overcome. The first group of people are doing everything on their own strengths, and the second are doing everything on the strengths of Lord, or with the strengths of the Lord. And then I want to read a certain passage here. Bhaja Vasudevam indicates that one who is engaged in the loving service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, can very easily stop the waves of desires. As long as one continues to try to artificially stop the waves of desires, he will certainly be defeated. That is indicated in this verse. Desires for sense gratification are strongly rooted, but the trees of desire can be uprooted completely by devotional service, because devotional service employs superior desire. One can give up inferior desires when one is engaged in superior desires. To try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the Supreme in order not to be entangled in inferior desires. Jnanis maintain a desire to become one with the Supreme, but such desires are also considered to be karma or lust. Similarly, the yogis desire mystic power, and that is also karma. And the bhaktas, not being desirous of any sort of material enjoyment, become purified. There is no artificial attempt in their case to stop desire. Desire becomes a source of spiritual enjoyment under the protection of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. And then there's an example. It describes, as long as one is able to stop the desires for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. And as long as you have these material desires flowing in your heart, you will be a conditioned soul or bound. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing. There's no stop of them. And that they cannot be stopped, but the waves of the river flow toward the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Similarly, a devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness that the stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. I know it is difficult to... Can you follow the purport, or is it difficult? A little difficult, huh? So early in the morning. This verse is, I can help you a little. It's about the desires which always are in our heart. Desires for so many things, and they flow like the rave, like the waves of the river. But Prabhupada speaks here about a very easy way to overcome this constant flowing of desire. He speaks of superior desires, and he gives an example. When the rivers meet the ocean, the waves of the ocean have more water and more strength, and they overwhelm the other waves. When we were young, we lived in Hamburg, and once our teacher, I think it was the German teacher, he took us out with a little boat to the place where the river, it's the Elbe, meets the North Sea. You know, the Elbe comes with one kind of water, and then they meet. And the sea, of course, has bigger waves and more strength, and stops the river, and in fact mixes with the river water and makes it also salty. So, in Krishna, this is an analogy. We have so many material desires in our heart, which drive us here and there and everywhere, and certainly not to Vrindavan. But when we start to engage our desires in Krishna's service, that means we will start to desire something for Krishna, then this is like the ocean, the Krishna ocean, which is slowly curing our material desire. This is the verse. Then Prabhupada talks about the strongest material desire. As confirmed by Yamunacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there's always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord, so much so that the stagnant desire of sex life becomes very insignificant. Yamunacharya even says that he spits on such desires. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this. Param drishtva nivatate. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we overcome the material desires for sense gratification. I will again read the conclusion. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all material desires for sense gratification. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaubhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I want to greet again all of you. You have so many more devotees came. I just opened my eyes from the concentration on the text, and I notice that the temple room has become more full. Thank you all very much that you come for this concluding lecture of our little festival. The subject of my class will be to give you some inspiration which is hopefully helpful for your life in the starting at the new year. Hare Krishna. This is a traditional text. It's a very nice statement or nice subject matter. It is really telling us that when we can be in contact with Krishna, then the impossible becomes possible, and we obtain sufficient strength to overcome our weaknesses and all of our personal, you know, the personal issues, you say in English, the things which need improvement. The text is very ecstatic. I read it again for you. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for sense gratification. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, can actually not do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. The text speaks of a hard knot in the heart. It is a knot which binds us, the eternal soul, to an illusory identification and an illusory existence. And this knot, I think you all have an idea, is the ego, the false ego, the false identity. And it is keeping us immaterial existence, and it keeps us also basically the way we are. You can visit many self-improvement schools, you can hear a lot of philosophy, you can even practice a lot of spiritual life, unless and until you address this problem that you are a bound soul, you are now bound by false ego to the material existence. Unless solve this knot, you will not be able to progress in your spiritual life beyond what is there possible by your karma. You know, every person obviously in his life develops in some ways, has some insights and so on. Everyone, also the materialist, changes a little bit, just a little bit. But he is really basically bound to material existence by the strong knots of the false ego. We can see this decoration and understand, yes, a knot is a knot. Ein Knoten, sagt man in Deutsch. People suffer from this. They feel limited, they feel boxed in, they feel engaged in quarrels with each other. They go to court cases, they go to, nowadays, mediations are becoming more, a little bit more well known as a possibility to help people. They try many things, but unless the false ego, the ahankara, is really solved and cut, there is a limited success. Limited success. Something small you can move, but not in a way that satisfies the soul and makes you peaceful. It does not work. Unfortunately, we live in an age where this problem of false ego is, people talk about it, but they don't really have good solutions for solving this problem. And because they lack a general spiritual perspective, they are also hopeless. They don't know, is there a real identity? I mean, false ego, false identity, that is what I experience very strongly, but Is there something beyond this? Luckily, those who read the Gita and the Bhagavatam, they know we are spirit souls, and they feel this very strongly. But it's now for them important to know how to come to the spiritual level. They will have to have a clear understanding, and not very complicated, because we cannot remember many points at once, how we can come from the material consciousness to Krishna consciousness or the spiritual consciousness. And for this, you really have to cut the false ego. There is no other way. It is very simple. I think I don't need to make it very clear in this circle. I think you all know what we talk about, because you're practicing also Krishna consciousness. So how can you do this? I have an interesting solution, something which I think will help you. First of all, I will say one thing: you cannot do it on your own. It's too strong, this knot. You need a very, very different solution than trying it with your own intelligence, or maybe with a little bit with the advice of some psychologists or something. The only one who can cut the knot in the heart is Krishna himself. This is explained in two places in the Bhagavatam, because it's such an important point. It says the knot in the heart can be cut only when one sees the Lord as his master. That's the only way. I would like to give you a little analogy. Who of you is familiar with the life of, or life is maybe a little bit too much, who of you has heard about Alexander the Great? he comes from a very small country, Macedonia, but he's, we have heard something. Alexander the Great grew up in under the, you know, his father was Philip, and Philip had an idea to stop the different small little wars of the small countries who were there. Where nowadays there's a Greek, the Thessalonians, this or that, and so on. And he wanted to bring them all together under one rule, the rule of the Macedonian crown. It's a little bit like in our country. We have Hessen, we have Sachsen, we have Thüringen, and so on. But they are all, these all small little states are all under one big state called Germany. It's a little bit like this, little. I mean, though I think Angela Merkel would object to this comparison. It's a little, but just to give an idea, there were different little independent states, and they were all brought together under one, so that, yeah, the economy would be better, and your peace, and obviously the Macedonians wanted to control everything, but that's not always said like this. So, they were successful. Philip was successful. Then he was assassinated, and his son Alexander became the next monarch. And Alexander had he was unusual. He was not satisfied with this enlarged kingdom. He wanted to rule all of Asia. Historians are trying to find something good in Alexander, that he was not greedy for power, but he wanted to make a unified state system all over Asia. But other historians say, well, he was just a greedy guy, and so on. Anyways, that's not so important. What is important is a certain incident in Alexander's life, which can help us to understand something. So he had the desire to become the ruler of all of Asia, including what is now Persia or Iran, and other countries like Afghanistan, including parts of India. He had this desire, and there was one oracle. Do you know what is an oracle? It's like a place where a prophecy is made. It was in North Africa, in a town called Gordon, and this oracle said that anyone who would come to this town and who would find the golden knot and disentangle it would become the ruler of Asia. This was the prophecy. What was the knot of Gordon? That was a difficult knot. It was a knot this, it has this size. It consisted out of leather, which was knotted, and altogether it became such a knot. You can say not such a difficult thing, but you don't know. They had poured water over it and exposed the knot to sunlight and heat. And do you know what happens when you expose wet leather to the heat? It just shrinks. That is what was done in previous times to prisoners. They were bound with leather like this. Then water was put on this. Then they would be exposed to the sun. And, oh, what would become so... Oh, it really pulls it together. So this knot had become so hard that it was impossible to untie it. Many kings, many strong people had tried, but they just couldn't do it. So Alexander went there. He was shown the knot, and he was said, can you solve this knot? And Alexander, who was thinking differently, he was a little bit like our Buddha Bhavana, who also can think out of the box for new solutions. Now Alexander thought, well, he just said to one of his men, give me my sword. The sword came, and he went like, shoop, and cut the knot of Gordon, such a big knot, in two, and everyone said, wow, no one thought of that. But the knot is solved. And then the next moment they said, you will most probably be now the ruler of Asia. And by the way, he was successful for some short time, like all material successes are short-lived, but yes, his empire stretched out into parts of India. He was really powerful. Next to Genghis Khan, he was the most powerful ruler the planet Earth had ever seen. So, because he thought out of the box, he had solutions where other simply failed. In bhakti, we also have a unique solution. That's why I want to explain the situation. On your own, if you try to disentangle yourself from material life and try to solve this problem and this conditioned response and this limitation and this lack of confidence and this problem with your interpersonal relationships and this weakness in your sadhana and this attachment to movies or any or whatever is there, if you try to solve it on your own, dear devotees, it's like trying to disentangle the Gordian knot. You will not be able. The knot which binds you to material existence and your own conditionings and weakness can be disentangled, or better, can be cut by Krishna. If Krishna himself takes up the work of purifying your heart and disentangling you from your personal weakness, it's very easy. And Srila Prabhupada gives us an easy analogy to understand. He said, there is the darkness of avidya, ignorance in our heart, and it's very hard to remove it. But if Krishna comes, then it is very easy. And the analogy which Prabhupada gave is the darkness and the sun. When there is a darkness, there can be the darkness, I always say, can be millions of years old. In other words, it can be a cave somewhere, which is some mountain, which is really dark, and for a long time dark. When the sun comes, immediately the darkness has to go. The strongest darkness has to go, and the oldest darkness has to go. Any type of darkness goes the moment the sun rises. And this is what is the Bhagavad solution or the Bhakti solution. On your own, you have limited strengths. Very limited strength. And that strength is too limited, too small to overcome this hard knot of material existence, this ego which is with you since many lifetimes, many, many. But Krishna, when Krishna becomes, rises in your life, he cuts the knot of false ego. Just like the sun will always dissolve and remove all traces of darkness. So, when does Krishna rise in your heart? When will Krishna come to take up the work which you on your own are not capable to complete? You can start a little, but you cannot complete it. When? Under which circumstances? The Bhagavatam answers this question very nicely, and I believe you all have made some realization of this point during the festival. The way Krishna becomes more prominent in our heart and our life is by, in the Kali Yuga, by hearing about him and by chanting his glories. Some of you have told me that during the festival you had important realizations. Some of you said, my God, so much came to me. I really need now a few days to digest all of this. Why did it come? Because it was very simple. The organizers of the festival, Gaurahari, Bhagavad Dharma, his wife, they have made sure that it's a festival about where Krishna is in the center and where we glorify Krishna, where we think of Krishna, where we chant his holy name. And in this way, Krishna, who is there in the heart, rises in your heart. And he says, Prabhupada writes about, this person has developed a desire to hear about me. He is interested in me. Wow. Now I will take up the work and help him to overcome this material existence in which he is. And the way you experience Krishna's intervention or Krishna's presence in your life is that effortlessly, also ohne jede Anstrengung, effortlessly, the problems disappear more and more and more, and you change. And you, is it true? Others also see it. My God, what has happened to you? Poo. And you say, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that these two things, if you apply them in your life, Krishna rises in your life, rises like the sun. You have to hear about Krishna from authorized sources. Best in Kali Yuga is to hear from the Bhagavatam. This is Krishna. When the Kali Yuga came, Krishna sent a representation of him, that is the Bhagavatam, which was rising in the age of Kali like the sun to dispel the darkness of ignorance, which is so prominent at this time. And you have to learn to chant about Krishna. These two things will take care that Krishna becomes active in your heart. There's a verse which confirms this. It's very well known. Shrinvanta svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hrityantasto shabadrani vidhunoti suritsatam. It says, those who have developed an urge to hear. Urge means you really want it. An urge is something like, yesterday I had an urge. I was so hungry. And before that, I was at around 10:30. I was so tired. And if Manu would not have saved me, he saw me sitting and sleeping on a chair in a hidden place. And he always said, you need to take 15 minutes rest now. And there was an urge. I needed to this. And I was hungry like anything. Oof, it was really a push. It was really strong. It was not theoretical. It was very practical. Those who have developed an urge to hear about me, to hear about Krishna, what happens? Krishna, who's in the heart, becomes the well-meaning friend And what does he do? He removes the abhadrani. Abhadrani means the inauspicious things in the heart, like the ego, like excessive material attachments and desires. He himself does it. This is a very important. Now, an urge. You must be committed. You must take this serious. You cannot be an uncommitted, lackadaisical, or what was Prabhupada's word? Casual worshipper. You must develop an urge for this, a real desire. Otherwise, you will not do it. And this ruchi, this desire, is classically coming in the good association of devotees, like this here. Therefore, we make these sanghas, because in these sanghas, you chant and you sit before Krishna and you hear and you think, wow, it's actually good. I want this, more of this. So the urge is starting. Hearing about Krishna, my dear devotees, if we say turn to Krishna, what do we mean with this? Do we have to turn to the east, to the west, to the south, to the north? How do I turn to Krishna? Do I need a compass for this? And so on. No, you turn to Krishna by practically hearing about him and chanting about him. That's how you turn to Krishna. You cannot turn geographically like this microphone. No, you have to say, okay, let me sit down, let me use my time to hear and chant about Krishna. That's how you turn to Krishna. And when you don't do this, you turn away from Krishna. It's that simple. Really, you will turn to your mind, and so on. And you have to do it nitya, regularly. And you have to do it with an effort. Come on, don't be so lazy. You are not so lazy when you go and get something to eat. You are very determined. I saw you from my room, how you entered the pizzeria. There was one ekanti bhakti for pizza. One orientation. So you need to also turn quite intensely to your chanting and reading, because that's the only thing which gets the ignorance, the darkness out of your heart, so that your life becomes manageable and not that you don't stay and neophyte and greenhorn to the end of your life, like many of you still are. Hare Krishna. Some strong words of the Swami are required in the morning. My dear devotees, our biggest problem is that we think we know all this, but we don't do it. Prabhupada spoke about this problem in the first canto. He said, Krishna is more interested than we that we go back to him. But unfortunately, only very few are interested in going back to the kingdom of a God. Only very few. I think these few are here. We Hare Krishna devotees are not so many, as you know. It's a small number. I hope that you are all belonging to this small number, and you are interested. And if you are, please go in your life in the new year, and somehow, it's very easy, plan your life in such a way that you can do these two things: hear about Krishna and chant his holy name, and the rest will be taken care of by Krishna. I wanted to end, because this is somewhat has become something of my favorite subject matter, by talking about chanting as a way to turn to Krishna in the Kali Yuga. Both in the Upanishads, in the Yoga Sutras, and also in our Bhakti scriptures, the Bhagavatam, there is a description how you chant mantras. And this is a very, it's a generic description. It means it's universally true for all mantras. And I have a little curiosity. I found the same things in the teachings of those Christians who are known as the Desert Fathers, very consequential Christian monks who like to go into the desert where they are not disturbed by materialistic civilization and who pray. It is something which is of universal relevance. It is true in all traditions because it's simply true. This is how you chant or turn to the Lord. If you want to read about it in the Bhagavatam, I will not be able to go very... It's in the 7th canto, 15th chapter, text 42. 7, 15, 42. As an arrow, it is a practice... which I will read to you now. As an arrow is aimed at a target and then shot by the bow, the purified living entity is aimed at the Lord's lotus feet and then transported by the power of the bow to its target. It's a little mystical language. This was Prabhupada speaking. Let me be crystal clear. The bow is the mantra. You are the arrow, and the goal, it's called in English the target, die Zielscheibe ist in Deutsch, is the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So when you want to use the bow, what do you do? I won't shoot at any one of you, maybe you. You first have to take aim. Then you have to pull the string, and after you have taken aim and pulled the string, you have to let go. And then the arrow is transported. In the same way, when you chant, you need to do what the Hare Krishna movement is constantly not doing. You need to change something. You need to focus on Krishna first. Take aim. This is expressed in our scriptures. It says, one is immediately freed from the clutches of Maya if he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today, 1st of January, I'm surrendering unto you. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in forgetfulness of you. No, some of you noticed. So, I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in cooking a nice meal. Yes, no, no. Good. I'm your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. This is how you start when you chant. You focus on Krishna. You take aim. You're not just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When you chant like this, it's like a bow, which you put it somewhere and then you shoot, boom, and bang, the lamp comes down on you. But you don't reach your target. Take aim, my dear devotees. Don't space out when you chant. Space in to Krishna. Then you have to make an effort when you chant. There are many things I could say about it, but I want to speak simple today. You have to chant and hear, says Prabhupada. You have to chant with your tongue and hear the sound. That's all. What is the question of the mind? Or he said it other times. Just try to listen to yourself. Chant sincerely. And finally, you have to let go. Let go means you surrender to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks an interesting question. He says, whose prayer does Krishna hear? Whom does he listen to? And he answers the question, the prayer of one who submits unconditionally to the sixfold path of surrender. Sri Nanda Kumar, or Krishna, hears the prayers of these persons. If you want to advance in the path of bhakti, there are not many rules and regulations. It's not very complicated. Simply beg for the exclusive shelter of Krishna Nam, of the holy name of Krishna, and you will definitely make advancement on the path of bhakti. So, Hare Krishna. Summary of the class. We wanted brief, Maharaj, not long talks. We are in a hurry. We need something which we can type on our mobile phones, our little distraction machines. We program them. Simple, my dear devotees. You need, if you have divine help, the help of Krishna in your new year, everything will be easy. And Krishna comes to your heart by here making an effort to regularly hear about him and to chant his names. How should we chant? Jai Krishna, myself, want to show you how to do this. We had one Madanga player. He was a new player, was very fast. Do we have another Madanga player? No. So you have to look at me, Prabhuji. Play faster than I play. Yes? When we go fast, then I will first go fast, then you go fast. Yes? Good. So you have to look at me. No? Not. You were 2 times as fast as me in the last kirtan. Ojashvi is there. Good, Ojashvi. And look at me. Don't go into your Ojashvi world. So that we are the same speed. Yes? Look at me, Ojashvi. Look at me. So I would like to make now a practical with you. Because I feel you have heard already chant Hare Krishna, but you need to do it in the right way. In the way the Bhagavatam says, in the way the Upanishads say, and in the way all traditions confirm it. I would like you...
Matthias, setz dich ruhig zu uns. Oder ach so, du hast die Übersetzung. Ja, Translation, I'm sorry. My dear devotees, this is the last
time where we come together. I'm a little sorry that I was a little intense, but I'm now normal again. I think we all know the next year will be interesting for sure. It's if you look in the news, you will see, yeah, there are some real issues in society. I would recommend you don't look too much in the news. You won't find a lot of truth in the news, but many news are just to make you more afraid and follow them and so on. But we are moving into Kali Yuga, no doubt. And we all know that we are not always as Krishna consciousness as we wish to be. So is there something which can help us in the new year? And the simple answer is yes, Lord Krishna can help us. He is like the sun who can, when he rises, dispel all the darkness. It's not a problem for him. We are on our own, limited and helpless, but Krishna is the Lord. So when the recommendation is to hear the Bhagavatam daily, and the second is to chant. Let us first take aim, following the bow example. Take aim means we direct our consciousness away from the things of the world and we bring it to Krishna, whose name we will chant. It is good now if you turn towards the altar, please. Ojashvi. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Na Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Na Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama. Everybody again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The next thing is, after taking aim, we need to make an effort. You have to chant, and you have to hear yourself chanting. You have to chant with your tongue and simply hear the sound. Please just make this effort to concentrate. This will be very good. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One last time, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Chila Prabhupada Hai Bo. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Chila Prabhupada Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Jaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Hai Bo Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Siddhadhe Jayom Vishnu Bhat Paramahansa Paravaraja Gacharya Ashtato Satasi Simat Hisimaying Grace Sila Abe Charanaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Acharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakoho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Si Si Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Yamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Hare Krishna I am an insignificant servant of my spiritual master, but I wish all of you all the best from my heart. I pray every Tuesday, and I will pray for all of you on Tuesday that you will get strength of heart, inner strength, which will help you on your way to Krishna in your life. And I will pray that you will get that higher taste in bhakti, that higher taste in devotion, which will help you to very easily give up those things which are harmful in your spiritual life. I hope that your good wishes are also with us, because we want something wonderful to manifest in the year 2017, and we require the blessings of the Vaishnava. And please remember that little episode from yesterday. You know, when we turned in the night to
Radha Madan Mohan, there were two things we were asking the Lord to help us in our own personal project, our own personal desires to come closer to Him. But we were also praying for the benefit of others. This is very important in bhakti also. This compassion, that going out of your own world, sometimes it's good to leave the world a little bit for a little time and then really see how you can benefit others, how you can help others. This is very important. Otherwise, we could become a little self-centered and in the name of bhakti again develop a bhakti ego, you know. So compassion or thinking how to benefit others, praying for others, so very nice. I wish you all the best. I will request Gaurahari now to say the concluding words from the side of the temple.
Hare Krishna, Haribo. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki, Shishi Radha Madan Mohan ki, Gaura Premanandi, Hare Haribo.
Hare Krishna.